Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
Wait for them on any weekend because they just can play with anybody, but just never know if they're going to play up to their capabilities.
Also to Ohio State, man, they flex the muscles 34-10 right now over Illinois. Illinois reminds me a little bit of Missouri. They're kind of the Big Ten version of what Missouri is in the SEC, so to speak. And so, man, you go up against Ohio State, man, they open up that can. They got the can opener and it's plugged in.
So here's the thing. Ohio State, to me right now, you know, over the past 4 weeks, has been the steadiest team in college football. And Julian Sayin is throwing the ball at 80% pass completion rate is unbelievable. So if you're throwing that as a quarterback, your chances of winning, you know, greatly increase. But again, Ohio State has probably the most talented roster of college football, if you take a look at it. And the only part that's probably the least talented, if you will, is Julian Sayin. But he's playing as if he's one of the top two quarterbacks in the country.
He's playing like he did when Coach Saban recruited him. He was the five-star recruit.
Yep.
And
he
kind of had the boudet a little bit.
Yep.
You know, man, I ain't playing.
I'm out of here.
I'm going to go to Ohio State.
And then it wasn't a bad move for him because if you think about it, Ohio State is one of those really quarterback-friendly programs that really allows the quarterback to be who the – you know, it develops quarterback really well in college football.
Herb, I'm going to ask you about it. I don't know if this has happened, but in this bye week and then you lose. Man, the 2 weeks almost seem like 2 months that you haven't played because, okay, if you play in baseball or if you play in basketball, you got another game and it's fairly quick. It's within days.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That same week, man, when you lose a football game and you got to wait 7 days, 7 days is long. When you got to wait 14 days, it's an eternity that you have to wait.
Well, it's one of those things, though, where sometimes you need that time in order to reflect. You got to, you know, you get in the weight room, you get in the training room, you get your body back right, you get an opportunity to really reflect on, you know, which way the season's going in that last game, and also really look forward to the next game to be able to get that bad taste out of your mouth. And so, you know, emotionally and mentally, it's really great to have that break at that time. And then, you know, from everything, all the reports that we're hearing about, you know, Nussmeier in particular in regards to his health, it couldn't have come at a better time. And so the gauntlet that LSU is about to play moving forward, they really needed this week. And then they'll get another week in another month, right? 2 weeks off right before they play, I think it's Alabama, right before they play them. And so it's one of those things where it's good in one fashion, but then again, you can't get too anxious for the next week to come or the following game to come, because then have you really utilized the opportunity and the time frame to, one, if I'm LSU, work on my run game. Two, can I get all of my guys that I need to get back healthy? And then three, how do we got 2 weeks to prepare for a really good South Carolina team that's going to come in here looking for revenge from last year. So they have an opportunity to do something special today, and I think this is one of those things that's going to make and break the season coming up, this game.
I got sometimes too much free time on my hands, but I've got to watch Lenore Sellers.
Ain't nothing about you free, Mike. What you talking about?
Well, no, that part is correct. That part is correct. But with Lenore Sellers, when you look at his talent level.
Yep.
His really good games are Mount Everest-like.
Yep.
But he's got a lot of erratic nature with him. He's a big 6'4" plus 225-pound guy.
He looks great.
That looks like almost like a greyhound when he's out on the field is because of his speed. We haven't seen a lot of that from him this year. He's improved as a passer. He's in the mid-60s as far as completion rate, which I think is good. He could get better with that, and he got a young receiving core that's dropped a ton of passes throughout the season. Nick Harbaugh, it's a 50-50 shot with him every time you throw it.
Yep.
Man, Nick looks the part. Nick's one of the fastest guys you'll ever see for a big man. He reminds me a little bit of DK Metcalf.
Yeah.
And so Nick comes to a camp this summer, and I tell him, I said, man, Nick, you got to learn how to run more than three routes. He said, yeah, but coach, here's the thing. The three of them I run them real good.
That's right.
And I was like, no, you got to expand that route tree a little bit.
Yeah.
He reminds me a little bit of DK Metcalf. Now, DK caught the ball much, much better, more consistent than Nick Harbaugh.
Yeah.
But, man, Nick's one of those guys, if he catches it and takes off, you in trouble.
You're in trouble.
Big time trouble.
I guess the issue is, can he get the ball to him? That's the thing. So, Lenore's
the offensive line is two words, lousy.
Lousy, that's right. Right. And so it's one of those things is, you know, can Lenoris get some time to throw the football? And then one, when he does have the time, can he make the accurate throw? And yes, probably 6 out of 10 times he can, or 5.5 out of 10 times he can. And he's a special talent, in my opinion. He really is. I think he's not in a great place where they develop quarterbacks really well. But I think, you know, the Beamers, you know, it's Shane in
particular. It's more defense, special teams.
Defense, special teams, that's right. In the run game, too, right? And so he's not at a place that develops quarterbacks. But if he can get the right types of coaching or development, I think he can be really special. But he's a really fit guy. He looks great in uniform.
He would keep me up at night if I was a defensive coordinator. I'm going to be honest.
He keeps me up at night, and I ain't a defensive coordinator. So I'm just a fan of LSU.
I can understand.
And all the fuel and the fire that they had from last year and the way they lost last year to LSU, they're going to bring that to Tiger Stadium tonight.
Had he not gotten hurt,
it would have been a different game.
A totally different game because he tore them apart last year.
He did. Yep.
That's a totally different defense than it was year ago with all those transfer guys. And, you know, that's the one thing, you've stayed fairly healthy on the defensive side of the ball this year.
Mm-hmm.
Where you got injuries, and I told you it's the worst thing in the world. You get an injury and you get it at the same spot that you're the weakest.
That you're
offensive
the weakest
line.
That's right. Yeah, you can't do that. That you're already weak there.
Well, you did, to speak.
You're already there. You're already, you know, weak there, and then you get some sort of injury that takes out one of your better guys or whatever you want to call it. Yes, it kind of brings that offensive line back to a state of just porousness and allowing people to just, you know, get in the face of the quarterback all the time.
And Braylon, ever since the ankle injury, you can tell he's not the same guy.
Mm-hmm. No.
And so that extra time off has helped him recover from the ankle injury. Because I look at Braylon Moore, I'm looking at a guy that's going to play at the next level. He's going to play in the NFL.
I think he's a second, third-round pick. What do you think?
I think he's a middle-round pick.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay, so I'm good with that. I'm
so
good with
close,
that.
So you're close.
Yeah, so in that late second round, maybe third, maybe fourth, maybe. But here's the thing. One of the things that I'm looking for at LSU football tonight, especially in the offensive line, can they play in unison? We've had 2 weeks off. Everybody's saying how terrible the run game is. What are you going to do? What is your response to that now, right? And then that starts with the coaching. It doesn't start with the players. It starts with the coaches.
Coach.
The coaching should be able to get them to get to a position or a place to where they want to be hungry and want to be dogs out there, and they want to have retribution for all of the negative language that they've been hearing coming from everywhere outside of the facility. What have you done the last 2 weeks to get better? I'm looking for unison and firing off the football, and I don't want to see a offensive lineman looking backwards. They better be facing forward, pushing somebody out the way, and landing on top of them as they pancake block them. That's what I'm looking forward to.
We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettelia along with Herb Tyler at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us.
Please
Herb
do.
And I will be here until 4:45 this afternoon. Be back with more Tiger Tailgating right after this break.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break. And best to you.
We're back here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike DeTillo along with Herb Tyler. That's here right. At Acme Orchard House, 3535 Perkins Road in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. Got great food and drink specials here at Acme. And again, we want to thank our presenting sponsor, Map Construction, Map Built, Build Beyond. Well, they got a superstar on offense.
Yep.
You got a superstar on defense, too. Number six, Dylan Stewart, man, came out. He was either a four- or five-star recruit, depending on what service you're looking at. In 18 games as a collegiate player, he's had 17.5 tackles for losses, 5 forced fumbles, and 10 quarterback sacks. I would say that's pretty good. You better put a hat, two hats on Dylan Stewart. And I was telling this to Charlie Long during the week. He was like, Mike, you good with the comparison? Compare him to anybody. I would compare him to what I saw Javon Curse at Florida. He looks like the freak. He does. And, man, it's like somebody shot him out of a cannon. And he's got that real low balance, and he gets around that tackle. So if you think you're going to get your hands on him and sort of kind of push him around, he takes that element away because he gets so low, you really can't get a good hand on him. Next thing you know, bam. His speed to get to point A to point B is so fast, and that's why he reminds me a lot of Javon Curse.
Well, you know, I played against Javon Curse for 3 years or whatever it was. Yeah, 3 years. And when I tell you this guy was a freak, he was a freak. He was one of the scariest players just to look at him on the other side of the field. But ultimately, his technique is what made him really great, which I think is what you're saying about Stewart.
Yeah.
Is at the end of the day, you can have all the freakish ability that you want or need, but if you don't combine that with the technical aspect of playing a game of football, especially
guess
that defensive end.
Guess who he's worked with in the offseason?
Javon Curse.
No.
Who?
The guy that recruited you.
That's right, Coach Jenkins. So, yeah, Pete, yeah. So here's the thing. So, again, so you know he's got the technique. If Coach Jenkins has been working with him, and on the defensive end, that leverage is everything. It's this ball get off, it's leverage, and then it's how do you use your hands, right? Are you swimming, or you bull rushing, or you chopping, whatever that looks like, you have to be able to do all of those, and you gotta have that in your game to be able to be successful. And Javon Curse was one of the best at it, and now we're talking about Dylan Stewart here now, who's gonna give LSU offensive line everything they want tonight. He's going to be trying to get to Nussmeier and every running back we got back there faster than you can think, you know, anything. But ultimately, LSU's got to put two hats on him, whether it's a chip by the back or whether, you know,
tight end.
You're tight end or somebody, or you're bringing a receiver in motion and you just chip him. And then you got to also be ready for the stunts. For him to, you know, to start outside and then come back, loop back around inside, you got to hit your head on the swivel as a center, as a guard, to be ready to pick that up. Because if not, he's going to give you some trouble all night.
One of the things they try to do is to maneuver him around, as you talked about. Sometimes he'll be on the left, and they'll put him on the right. And next thing you know, he's over the top of the center.
Yep.
And so you see that center, man, you know, he's blinking the eyes because, man, what? I got to snap this correctly and I got to block this dude. Wasn't on the resume when I signed up here.
That's called good coaching. That's putting your best player in multiple different places so that he can affect the game in certain times and moments where it's least expected, right? And so to me, that's really great use of talent, in my opinion. So, if I'm South Carolina, I would do that all the time. If I'm LSU, you better have your eyes open and find it number six, because if not, you're going to be in trouble if you're not paying attention.
Yeah, too, and also his rundown skills.
Yeah,
Because what you really want to do is run at him. And, you know, you saw even in the NFL when Kurtz was playing with Tennessee, they would run at him because you want to slow him down a little bit. What you don't want to do is to have him catch you from the backside, which he can do also.
That's right.
Man, because Kurtz one of the few guys that could do it. I saw LT do it. LT could do it. Ricky Jackson could do it.
Yep.
Catch you on the backside on a running play.
Mm-hmm. So the most difficult part about the backside part is a lot of times you allow that backside defensive end to just go, and you don't put a hand on him, and you allow him, because most time they can't run you down from behind. But, Stewart is the guy that can do that. So if LSU is going to do that, in my opinion, you need to have the running back or whoever that's going to be running the ball to the opposite side away from him, and he's going to be that backside defensive end. That you need to cheat that running back over 2 or 3 yards to give him an opportunity to already be out in front of him so you don't allow that rundown to happen.
Yeah, because he can do it and do it.
And look, when you run at him or somebody like that, you get to double team, triple team, and get him out of the way, and then your back hopefully can make a move and go off the tail of whatever lineman that's blocking for him. And that's what I'm looking forward to tonight, to see if LSU can do
that. That's why they were so good last year and won 9 games.
Yep.
You know what? They had a team. They had 5 guys get drafted
that's
in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
They lost 2 more guys, undrafted free agents, and they had Dylan Stewart.
Yep.
Man, they got after you.
Yep.
They really got after you.
That defense last year for South Carolina
was really good.
Was one of the most scariest defenses I've seen in college football in a long time. You know, they may not, their record was, you know, whatever it was, and they didn't win the championship.
They won 9 games.
But didn't anybody want to go up against them and say that they would not pick them to be the first defense to play against, I guarantee it.
Craziest thing is, I think at the end of the year, you always think about, man, stuff I could have done in life and should have done in life. Or games I could have won.
Mm-hmm.
That game, if you South Carolina, is how the hell we lost? How the hell did we lose to LSU?
Well, Lenore's got hurt. That's how they lost.
And two, remember, they picked off Nussmeier,
that's right.
And the guy roughed him up.
Yep.
Come on, you got to be smarter than that. Yeah, he threw the interception. Let him be.
Well, at least it was a real true roughing the quarterback.
A true one.
Unlike what happened to Grandison the other day for the Saints. But anyway, let's not talk about that.
That's a horrible call.
That was a terrible call, and we know that was a terrible call. Everybody in the world knows that. My wife knows that's a terrible call, and she didn't even watch the game.
Okay, we had Carl Johnson here a couple weeks back. He came eat. He had an off weekend. Came eat here with his wife.
Yep.
And, you know, one of the things he'd always tell me, and I tell this to young officials, call what you see, not what you think you see.
Right.
I think that referee thought he saw something that he didn't actually see.
Well, they could have picked the flag up, though. At the end of the day, it's one of those things.
Then why you threw it.
Yeah, I agree. I don't disagree. But it was he didn't even drive him to the ground. He just basically fronted him, and then he fell forward. The quarterback did. And then that was the exact opposite of Nuss. He got truly roughed, and that play, that penalty was huge in that game. So, which is telling me South Carolina tonight, they coming back for revenge and retribution big time. I'm going to see what's going to happen. But ultimately, I think the Tigers is going to be too much for South Carolina tonight, especially with that night crowd for LSU.
Yeah, I don't think they have the players in the secondary. Certainly, they had a year ago. And it looks as though Alabama has wrapped it up. Missouri driving to try to get in field goal range. Got the ball intercepted, and the quarterback missed on the throw.
Yep, yep.
That would have got him down to around the 25-yard line.
That's a torture.
Yow. on that. We'll be back, and we'll have our Inside the Tiger Den segment. Jeff Palermo will join us for that.
Jeff.
Yes, indeed. We're at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show right after this break.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
Back here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettelia along with Herb Tyler. We're at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. Herb and I will be here until 4:45 this afternoon. I also want to thank our presenting sponsor, Map Construction, Map Built, Build Beyond. It's our Inside the Tiger Den segment, and it's brought to you weekly by Rouse's Markets. Celebrating 65 years, and we're just getting started. And on our phone lines, we have on with us from Louisiana Radio Network, Jeff Palermo. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Jeff.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
We're doing great, Jeff. I was telling her, man, it seems like forever when you lose a game and then you get a bye week and then it's 2 weeks in between because, you know, as a player and a coach, you want to go out there, kind of redeem yourself. And this is what I guess makes football sort of different, that, you know, it's either 7 days, 6 days, whatever, or 14 days if you're in the bye week. But, man, it seems like forever, you know, like almost last year when LSU played Ole Miss.
Yeah, there's been a lot more cranky people around Baton Rouge here the last couple of weeks.
What? And I hear a lot of it too.
Yeah, this you know, just the front, and it's just the way they lost too. I just don't think a lot of people thought that offensively this team would be struggling as much as it struggled through five games this season. I mean, if you and when you think about it, though, guys. Before the season, you probably would have thought going into that bye week, LSU would be 4-1. But the loss might have occurred against Clemson, or the defense is still struggling, or whatever it may be. But here, it's because offensively, once again, you're struggling to run the football, and then Garrett Nussmeier just doesn't look like Garrett Nussmeier from a season ago. So I think that has people a little baffled, a little frustrated, and they're ready to see the real nut bucks out there and them winging it around and getting back to, you know, scoring a lot of points. And let's face it also, I think as a fan base, considering you were coming off 2 years of Jaden Daniels and then Garrett Nussmeier's 4,000-yard passing season, I mean, you've been watching some terrific offenses here at LSU, and this season it's been average if that. So we'll see if maybe it looks a little different tonight, a little bit better, and hopefully it's the start of a good run here for LSU.
Jeff, I'm not even going to talk about the running game because you don't get that better in 2 weeks. You got what you got.
Wait a minute. Maybe not.
What? Herb, if you got dope, put it out there. I'm willing to take it away from you on this. But they got to get Tre'Davious Green and Chris Hilton more involved offensively. Jeff, okay, when this Florida season started, those were the two guys that, you know, everybody sort of pointed toward. Aaron Anderson won't play tonight, so now Kyle Parker gets put into a situation you know, he sort of admitted, hey, I'm a diva. Well, yeah, you play wide receiver. What you think? Most of those guys are like that when they play that receiver position. But they've got to find a way to get Trades and Hilton much more involved in this offense.
Well, Trades, you can understand. He had the injury, and probably even in the Ole Miss game wasn't necessarily 100%, but should be ready to go. But Chris Hilton has been – it's been a mystery, guys. We've been just – really, the last 3 years, you've been waiting for this guy to see his game take off. Obviously, a couple of years ago, you know, when you had Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas and Kyron Lacy, it was hard for him to really be involved in the offense because those guys – and Mason Taylor – those guys were getting all the grabs. And then last year he gets hurt. This is the first half of the season. This year he's healthy, and he's just been an absolute – he just hasn't been part of the offense at all. And you know, Brian Kelly talked about it quite a bit, in particular on Thursday, about trying to push the ball deep. If Nussmeier is healthy and is able to really unleash it, that's where Chris Hilton becomes a big part of this football game. And maybe you try to, you know, do something where you get him. Yeah. Maybe there you're trying to get something where you get him involved with a short pass or something. You know how it is with these wide receivers. You know, just get him the ball early, get him involved in the game early, and then maybe he'll be able to stay with it and have one of those games where he does have four or five catches for 80, 90 yards and a touchdown. That's kind of what you're hoping to get out of him. And you know, Berrien Brown's been okay, but it hasn't been. I think that was the other guy that I think you thought was going to be more explosive this season, and you just really haven't seen it.
Well, Jeff, you know, it's strange. With everything that you're saying, we're saying that the receiver should be doing this, this receiver should be doing that, this receiver should be doing this. A lot of the blame, definitely, I say blame, but a lot of the emphasis can be put on the quarterback as well. And we've seen where Nuss have been trying to throw the ball deep to, you know, Chris Hilton or anybody really, and the ball's just kind of floating and fluttering around. It's not really that Nussmeier from last year's touch and then also strength on the ball, which last week or 2 weeks ago, what I saw from Nuss was that he had no rip on the football. There was nothing coming behind that football.
I'm going to tell you, two plays into the game, you know who texted and told me that?
Who that?
You.
That's right. I know. Exactly. So I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, something's not right here. And I don't know if it's the injury. I don't know if it's the non-confidence level and just throwing the football or whatever it looks like. But something's got to change. I will say this. Ultimately, we're looking at something that we're at a point where I think this game right here makes or break the season. And so what do you think LSU can do against South Carolina today that's different than what they did 2 weeks ago against Ole Miss on offense?
Well, I do think it will help that you have Caden Durham back, and I think it still comes back to trying to establish some sort of a run game to open up the passing game. I mean, a lot of talk here about having to try to throw or try to move the ball through the air when you have eight defenders covering, you know, the five wide receivers that are going out. And so that's causing a lot of problems. Can you get the Caden Durham performance that you got last year in Columbia, South Carolina, where he came out of nowhere and basically saved that game for you after you got down 17-0? Can you have that kind of a performance out of him here tonight? That to me, that would be the key. And then I just think that opens it up for the passing game. And if Nussmeier, that week off, did that really do him good? And we'll probably know. I think just like 2 weeks ago, a couple snaps into this, a couple throws, and we'll know whether really Nuss is back, because it was pretty apparent early on. You know, there's some throws that he's able to step into. There's other times not. I think schematically, I think, you know, it really, I said it in my last column. I mean, there's a lot of things you know, Brian Kelly has thrown out a lot of different things of what they want to do. Get the run game going. Get the deep pass game going. Get this guy involved. Get this guy involved. I think they have a lot of ideas, and all those ideas are right. In the end, it's got to come down to player execution, and that execution starts on the offensive line. And then hopefully, if you give Nussmeier some time to throw, I mean, that was one of the key successes to last year's team was the fact that Nussmeier had a lot of time to throw in most games. When he got pressured, a.k.a. the Texas A&M game, the Florida game, that's when this LSU offense didn't perform well. You give this guy time to throw with these wide receivers, you should be able to put up some points and move the ball down the field.
Jeff, last question for you. Saw what Ole Miss did. They got Harold Perkins off the line of scrimmage, and they were having him drop in coverage. Okay, now this is a copycat world. You know, it wasn't Firestone that invented the wheel. I mean, it was long before then.
It was Fred Flintstone.
Yeah, and even before Fred. It was before that. That I think other teams will try to copy that to get Harold off that line of scrimmage where he's not playing sick'em ball.
Mm-hmm.
They've got him now trying to cover somebody. And, man, that tight end for Ole Miss, whew, that guy can play.
Yeah,
he can flatter. Man, he's a big dude. I could throw him the football, I think, because, man, he was that wide open on virtually every play.
Mm-hmm.
He was open. I think that's something to watch tonight because everybody has seen that tape and what Kiffin did offensively to maneuver Harold out of his natural position. And I'm wondering – I don't know that South Carolina can do it. They don't have quite have the personnel, wide receiver, tight ends to do it. But then again, with Sellers, he might just take off running because we haven't seen a lot of that this year
right.
from him other than the last game. But I'm interested in how they try to move Sellers, Perkins around on the football chessboard.
Yeah, you know, Perkins didn't have the impact that you were needing out of him in the Ole Miss game. I'm really interested to see what they do with Sellers. Do they really? Because you know, this is to me when I look at South Carolina, this is about a month, especially considering what they got coming up and the teams that they have to play, the Oklahoma, A&M, Alabama, all these teams that are coming up on their schedule. I think they probably look at this game as the one that they feel like they have a good chance to get and to try. And so I think they're going to really unleash Lenore Sellers and try to see if they can't get him, just much like what we were talking about with Chris Hilton. You know, get him involved early in the game. Get Lenore Sellers feeling good. See if he can make some plays with his legs and then open up the deep passing game as well with him. So I'm curious to see if they're able to do something like that. And the same thing for the Gamecocks, too, with trying to get their running game going. They have not been able to do it. They bring in this transfer from Utah State, and he was really good last season, but they've had multiple injuries on the offensive line, and it hasn't they're more banged up than LSU on the offensive line. So I find this game an intriguing game because – both teams have been – there were high expectations going in. You have the top two quarterbacks on the preseason All-SEC team. Both teams have kind of struggled through this first third of the season, especially offensively. And who's going to find it here tonight? Who's going to make the big plays to really get their season going in the right direction? And thankfully, LSU's at home and it's at night, and they got the better defense, so that should be enough for LSU to get the victory tonight.
One thing with it, I didn't think I'd say this, but South Carolina's rushing attack is worse than LSU's.
Yes.
I mean, that's hard to believe, but
that's
it's
right.
true.
That's right.
I mean, you know, they're the bottom dwellers, you know, in the SEC as far as running the football. So they got to do something with Sellers. But for Sellers, he going to have to beat me throwing it. I'm not letting him run it.
No.
I'm not letting him run it.
No.
I'll sugar rush him, stay in the lanes. I ain't letting him run around.
Well, we know what he can do running the football based upon last year against us because the only reason why they were in that game and were going to win that game
him and Rocket running. Sanders.
Right.
They really missed that. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us, bud. Really appreciate it.
Yes, Jeff. Thank you.
No problem, guys. The first team at 60 yards rushing probably wins.
That's right.
Damn. Well, we'll be talking about this in the fourth quarter then, Jeff. Unless they hit a big play. I don't know, man. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if any of them are going to hit that 60-yard rushing mark.
Yeah. Thank you, Jeff. We appreciate it, man. That is our Inside the Tiger Den segment. It is brought to you weekly by Rouse's Markets.
Yep.
Celebrating 65 years, and we're just getting started. We'll be back to finish it off here in hour number one of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show right after this break. We're finishing up here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike DeTillo along with Herb Tyler. We're at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. Hey, we'll be on until 4:45 this afternoon talking LSU, South Carolina, right here on the Big 870 WWL. And hey, if you're looking to cater a meal or something, hey, give them a call here at Acme. If it's a birthday, big anniversary, holidays, they can do it right here at Acme's, and they can take care of all of your needs. And with Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, you might be full of turkey. And
that's right.
Yeah, get you something to roll, so to speak, seafood-wise, right here at Acme Oyster House. We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show right after this news break.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all got to stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.